Albert Lutter.
The first epistle by Peter in chapter 2 and verse 24. First Peter chapter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The Gospel according to John and chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 17. The 17th verse. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Just a brief word on two statements. 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bare our sins. John chapter 19, and he, bearing his cross, went forth. I want just to help you understand the difference between his bearing our sins and his bearing his cross. Notice our sins and his cross. He bare sacrificially our sins. He bore up under the burden of his cross. Our sins and his cross. How do we distinguish between his bearing our sins and his cross? We ask the question, first of all, who gave him our sins? Who gave him his cross? You know the answer, and so do I. It was God who gave him our sins. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Who gave him his cross? That was man. It was man that said, crucify him. It was man that laid that cross upon him and ultimately nailed him to it. Our sins and his cross. The fact that he bore our sins brings me salvation. And I trust that each one of us in this room tonight can rejoice in this. Salvation has come to us because of one who bore our sins sacrificially on the tree. For the fact that he bore his cross is not my salvation. That he bore his cross is this world's condemnation. Brethren, that's the significance of the cross. The world gave it to him. And I want to show you, it was this world's verdict upon the Son of God. And in that cross, the world stands condemned. That he bore our sins is my salvation. That he bore his cross is the world's condemnation. The fact that he bore my sins fits me for heaven. Are we all rejoicing in that tonight? The fact that he bore our sins fits us for heaven. But the fact that he bore his cross, that finishes me with the world. This twofold aspect of Calvary. He bore our sins sacrificially. That fits me for heaven. He bore his cross. That finishes me with the world. Further, who is our own self? Bear our sins in his own body. His own self. His own body. He alone did it. He alone could do it. And he did it alone. He bare our sins. What about his bearing his cross? They compelled Joseph of Arimathea, they compelled Simon the Cyrenian to bear that cross after him. Simon shared in the bearing of that cross. And Christian friend, we too are called upon to share in the bearing of his cross. We could not share in the bearing of our sins, but we share in the bearing of his cross. Now let's think in a simple way of these two statements. 1 Peter chapter 2, to which our attention has already been directed. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Not up to the tree as we have been hearing. My brother, my sister, his life was not atoning. The work of atonement was accomplished on a tree. And on the tree alone. And grammarians would tell you that the tense, he bore our sins, is the aorist tense. It's the point tense. It relates to an event that took place once and was complete in itself. And eliminates any thought of a process. Hence it is not he bare our sins up to the tree, but he bore our sins sacrificially in that one great event, suspended in the tree during those dread hours of darkness. But we come back to this. Who his own self? Who his own self? In his own body. When he had by himself made purgation of sins. My brother, my sister, only one could have done this. To sustain and exhaust infinite time the wrath of infinite holiness against our sins. He alone could do it. And he did it alone. His own self. In his own body. When on him almighty vengeance fell, that would have sunk a world to hell. Praise God for such a Savior. His own self, in his own body, on the tree. Why on the tree? Galatians chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. On a tree, bearing the curse of a broken law. But not so in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. You'll notice in the context of these verses, Peter is addressing himself to converted Jews who had obtained employment as domestic servants, domestic slaves, who could be buffeted for their faults, maltreated physically. The word is, they could have their ears boxed. Ah, said Peter, I want to tell you, your Savior died the death of the wicked slave. The wicked slave was slain and hanged on a tree. Slain before he was hanged on a tree. But your Savior alive in his own soul in that body bore our sins. But then, why his own body? There might well be two thoughts here. Here were these converted Jews, subject to physical maltreatment. Says Peter, witness that tree again. While his soul was made offering sin, remember, it was in a body he was nailed to the tree. You've encouraged in experiences of physical maltreatment. But there's something more solemn than that. Friend, let me remind you, the penal consequences of a man's sin will be experienced eternally in a body. Hell is not final. Resurrection is necessary. And the wicked dead, united body and soul, Hades delivering up the soul and death the body, shall stand before the great white throne and united body and soul, cast eternally into the lake of fire. Too solemn to think about for too long. Too solemn even to sing about it. But I find it necessary to preach concerning the lake of fire. I have to be prepared to spend a part of a night, or perhaps a whole night, without sleep, with a broken heart. Oh, the awfulness of it. Soul and body eternally in the lake of fire. Man tonight, woman tonight, boy and girl, are you saved? Can you think of it? That I might be saved from an eternity, soul and body in the lake of fire. My Savior bore my sins in his own body on the tree. That has fitted me for heaven. But now, John chapter 19, he bare his cross, went forth. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why a cross? Could the sacrifice for our sins not have been made in another way than the Son of God impaled in shame upon a cross? Friend, thus it must be. And why? Let me tell you the significance of the cross once again. The cross was this world's verdict on God's Son. It was the world who said,
Crucify him! Crucify him! It was man that laid that cross upon him and nailed him to it. The cross was this world verdict on God's Son. In that cross, the world's evil became peasant. Its iniquity became full. There was proof conclusively how estranged man was from God and unfit for God's presence when it condemned to death by crucifixion the Son of God from heaven. Oh, Christian friend tonight, here is the meaning of the cross. It was this world's verdict on God's Son. Let Christendom have their gold crosses bedecked with jewels. The cross is a symbol of shame. And that's what the world gave to your Savior and mine. Crucify him. Death by crucifixion was the lowest extreme in human suffering. And that's what the world voted. The way in which our Savior should make his exit. See him bearing that shameful, heavy, ugly cross on his already lacerated, bleeding back to that place outside Jerusalem's city gate. See him nailed in shame and in pain to that same cross. Watch him hanging long in torture, in shame, and exposed to derision. And remember, that's what the world thought of your Savior and mine. Give him a cross. And I want to tell you this. Death by crucifixion was worse for your Savior and mine than it could have been for any other man. He not only had a nature that was holy and impervious to sin, he had a body that was impervious to disease. And on that cross, my Savior, he did not die gradually, as other men would do. He did not expire by degrees, as other men would. Other men crucified would expire by degrees. And toward the end, their sense of pain would be virtually gone. My Savior refused the vinegar and the myrrh, that stupefying drink, as an act of mercy. Life was full in him. And of having cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," he dismissed a spirit. The cause of who was, the pains of crucifixion. What a wonder Peter says he was loosed from the pains of death. The pains of crucifixion were worse for him than it could have been for any other man. But what does it mean? That was the world's verdict on your Savior. Now, Christian friend, we'll come to the practical side. When you trusted Christ and confessed him as Lord, you left the world's side. You dissociated yourself entirely from the world's verdict upon the Son of God. So that tonight, between you and the world around you, there stands that shameful cross. It is still true, young friend, tonight. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. Was it R.C. Chapman who said, before that cross,
I'm a stranger in the land. Will you listen to this? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Friend, as you leave this room tonight, will you share in his cross? And leave the world side. Live a life of separation from this evil world that's all around us. Shall we pray? We're fine.